Welcome to the Eden Assignment, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. Nominate your martial arts hero for the 2020 AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. Visit our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen. You know, just like a lot of people out there, we've had to do some alone time, right? This COVID-19 thing, it's been a very unusual journey, especially for a lot of the what we call millennials. They're not used to this, and some of us older folk, we actually not only are we used to it, but we don't mind it. And then some spiritual people use it for some real soul-searching time. And I am one of those very philosophical and spiritual people, known as the Master of Inspiration. For those of you who follow me in martial arts, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, that inspiration's got to come from somewhere. And a lot of times it comes from these moments when I am alone and I'm thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. Of course, if you happen to be in my close inner circle, you know I may often do a write-up or a message with you in mind. I'll never tell you. But hey, inspiration is inspiration, and take that as a compliment because you've inspired me. I want to share with you a story today. This is a true story. A lot of people don't know I am actually an ordained counselor. I am an actual clinical pastor, and I have been for years. And I'm hoping to maybe bump that up to the forefront a little more, as I feel like that is my calling to do so. But several years back, I actually ended up counseling a pastor, and not just a normal pastor. This was a pastor of a particular denomination who was in charge of an entire region, which I believe encompassed two or three states. So he was high up there in the hierarchy of who's in charge in pastorship. He oversaw churches. So he was a church overseer, for lack of a better way to put it, and highly liked, obviously highly respected. And then something happened to him. His wife, evidently, she fell and hit her head on the floor, which was made of like brick, and she died from her injuries. And all of a sudden, he found himself being accused of murder, ladies and gentlemen. You talk about being alone after that accusation came out. Now, this was a big story. It was in the news and everything. You talk about someone who went from being way high up there to falling all the way down where nobody even wanted to talk to him anymore. This was this guy, and he went through this for a couple of years. Finally, they came out and said that she was taking a prescription medication, evidently got dizzy and hit and fell her head, and it was just a freak accident, and they cleared him of any charges from what I can understand. But you have to understand something. That was hell for him. Those two or three years that this was going on, this investigation, it was sheer hell for this guy, and he had nobody to turn to. I got to tell you, man, sometimes religious, spiritual people, whatever you want to call them, they can be the worst. They can be the worst to turn to when things go wrong. And I'm not just saying that because of his story. I'm saying that because of my own experience. Unfortunately, especially my Christian brothers and sisters, we have all the little right things to say, you know, but they don't really cut it when you're getting ready to go to jail for a murder you didn't commit, you know? Like, you got to really reach down and help somebody's soul. And I say this, and I'm not bragging. With my ministry and an ability that God gave me, a gift, I have gone to hell and back for some people, literally gone to hell and back for some people. And this pastor was one of them. And I counseled him, like I said, probably two, maybe 3 years off and on. And he was just devastated. I mean, running the gamut of everything, of grief over losing his wife, to just anger of why God would let something like this happen. I'm bringing up this story because I really want you to know something. Sometimes you're going to be the only one in your corner, guys. Sometimes, I don't care what status you have in life, something could happen in a blink of an eye, and all of a sudden you find yourself in your own corner by yourself. And it takes a very mature spiritual person to come to your corner and not be judgmental and try to help you and figure out your place. Now listen, I call pastors holy people. When a holy person goes through something, I never, ever discount the fact that there's something going on a higher level than most people can even fathom. I'll never turn my back on a holy person when they need help. I've helped more holy people in my ability to counsel with a gift that God gave me than I have just anybody else that I can think of. And, you know, they're just people. They're just people. And a lot of times the way the Bible has it outlined, if you read in the book of Corinthians, it will tell you that the way the churches were originally set up, because there is organization to how churches should be ran. And Paul was the first to script that down with scriptures. But, you know, even pastors, the people in charge, the minister, the head of the church will have prophetic people or prophetic counselors or people around him to help him and other people in the church, because you can't do it all. You just can't. You're just a human being. So definitely this holy person was in his own corner. I've experienced this myself, and again, it seems to always go back to when I'm in some kind of a religious organization, and I talk about this experience where I was brought in to help a situation pretty much in the ghetto part of Denver here through a religious organization because they were having gang problems and everything else. You know, that was interesting because they felt like I would be the person that would be in charge and not take any crap and all this stuff. And you know what? I kind of am that way. But the thing is, when I got in and started to make these changes, they started to get scared. They started to worry about whether or not their donations are going to come in, how their face, their namesake, and their face was going to look. There's always a price to pay when you turn things around, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to turn things around and stand in truth. There will always be a price to pay. They weren't willing to pay that price. But it was too late because they already put me in that situation. And I was cleaning house. I was getting things done. I was working with the police department to get things done, actually. But a funny thing happened. You know, I'm not real. You got to know me. I'm not too scared of too many things. But it was a winter night. And winter comes early in the nighttime. Darkness comes early in the winter nighttime. And, you know, I was like probably the only person in the building that was like me. What do I mean by that? I mean that in every way. You can figure it out. I can explain it. But I'm saying that to let you know I was alone. I couldn't get the organization to support me. The head of the organization was mad at me. It's like, you know, I'm bugging the DPD, the cops constantly. Can you come over? Can you come over? And they're getting tired of hearing it. Employees that they put under my jurisdiction were very, very upset with me because I was changing the game, and a lot of them weren't doing, not only were they not doing what they were supposed to do, they were doing some really bad things. Man, did I feel alone. Boy, that was lonely. Just let me sit in that for a minute. That was lonely. That was very lonely. It was scary, but more than scary, it was just lonely. Man, I was getting death threats. This was a bad situation. So anyway, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that became great comfort to me. And it's in the book of Samuels, the first book of Samuels, where it talks about King David. Now, let me set this up about David. I'm talking about the same David who was a shepherd boy, who went from being a shepherd teenager to a great king, still known today historically. You know, David was a warrior. He was very intelligent. He was a musician. He was strong. The Bible says he was good looking. The Bible says he knew how to dance. It does. Evidently, he did a victory dance after these three-day battles, and he was victorious, and he did a victory dance, and it says every woman in the valley was watching him. So David had a lot going on for him, but he also would get into situations where he would falter. He would fail. He was very failing in more ways than one. And on this particular incident in the, you know, that I'm talking about in the book of 1 Samuel, everybody hated him. I mean, everybody hated him. And they actually wanted to stone him. So the whole town wanted to stone him. So there's good and bad with greatness. There's good and bad with greatness. And this was David's bad in his times of greatness. And it says that he was scared. He was scared. He had to hide more than once in his life. And he was afraid they were going to kill him. And he cried out to God. You read the book of Psalms, it talks a lot about crying out to God. And he, you know, would go through depression, go through panic and anxiety. This guy, he's a sensitive dude, this guy. He went through a lot of stuff. But in this particular verse, it says, David comforted himself. Some translations say David encouraged himself. And some say David strengthened himself in the Lord. There was no one to strengthen him or encourage him. And it says that he strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord. And that really made me think that sometimes it is like that. And a lot of people feel like they have to keep reaching out and reaching out on Facebook especially. It's a little annoying. They have a bad day. They get in a fight. They're upset with a friend. First thing they do is, bam, go to social media and let the whole world know. You know, I will rarely answer that. Unless someone is saying they're going to take their own life, I rarely, rarely will answer that, because usually people who do that are the people who will go with the next tide that comes in, and they've changed. There's some emotional instability with a person who constantly has to feel like people have to be on their side, even people they don't even know that well, and they got to air this dirty laundry, this personal dirty laundry out. I find it to be a little disrespectful. I don't follow it a lot. I know some people who are martial arts, high-ranked martial artists who do that. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with you? Come here, let me smack you. Give me that belt. What are you doing? What are you thinking? You need to carry yourself a little differently, especially when you're bad-mouthing other people. You're bad-mouthing other martial artists. It's not your business. You know what? You worry about your own martial arts journey. Don't worry about anybody else's. That's the way I look at it, because the truth will always come out in the end. And if you're not the real thing, it won't last. It doesn't last with time. It's not your job to be judge and jury on anybody. All right, I went off topic a little bit there, but I see that a lot on social media, and it's very annoying because it brings down the entire community of people who train in martial arts. Because listen, you know as well as I do, we're supposed to be outstanding community leaders. Outside of these holy people I talk about, we're next. People watch us. We have to be outstanding in the community. You got to watch the things that you say publicly and the places you go and the things you do, martial arts instructor. You don't know that. You better check yourself. Be careful what you post. You know, you're an instructor. You got to be careful with things that you post. Make sure it's something your 12-year-old student can look at and it's not going to be an issue. I got to tell this to my own instructors under me. Got to tell it to them all the time. You don't think of that because you're you, but you've got to realize you're not just you in the community and in the world. You're way bigger than you. You're a bigger you, a bigger you. It's the same thing for people who are in any type of ministry or spiritual guidance, holy people especially. I've always noticed that when holy people fall, they fall hard and they fall quick. It's hard to get someone in there, you know, that has the ability and the knowledge and the skill to go, hey, you know, I'm going to try to catch you and help you here. And it's very exhausting too. But, you know, heaven has networked the way it's networked people into people's lives. You're either a teacher at any particular time or you're a student at any particular time. But getting back to my story when I really felt alone, that verse in 1 Samuel really comforted me. The story of David really comforted me to know, listen, I put it in modern terms, I'll be on my own side, okay? If nobody wants to be on my side, I will be on my own side. Because I serve a pretty big God, and I know inside of myself what's truth and what's not truth. And if I'm the only one standing in that truth, I will comfort myself. And I've had to, more than once. And it always seems to have something to do with a spiritual journey whenever I end up having to be my own comfort. Are there people around me I could have talked to the situation about? Yes. And in my very close circle I have. But I don't find comfort in that. I feel like I'm just kind of, you know, biatching about it. I don't want to do that. Because I think the devil hears you when you biatch. And when you and he can use it against you. I may do it in a situation where I say, listen, something's going on. Why don't you just expend a little energy, time, and prayer on my behalf on that. But there is something different about when you have turmoil that has to do with the spirit realm and how you handle it. And I want you to be cautious of that. Be careful who you flab your mouth to. Flab, blab, whatever. Be careful who you're blabbing it to. Because not everybody walks in the love and the light that you do. And not everybody is going to be a friend to you. They may feel sorry for you and have sympathy for you, which, by the way, I don't like. I don't want anybody to have sympathy for me. I didn't have sympathy for the pastor who was accused of killing his wife, and I told him that. The first thing I said to him was, listen, first of all, I want you to know something. I don't feel sorry for you. I say that in my counseling, and people who've had my counseling will tell you I say that. Because you're not a victim, and I don't feel sorry for you. I don't want to be a victim either, and I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me because God is in control of my life. And like I said, I serve a pretty big God, and nothing's going to come my way that I'm not going to be victorious over in the end. Sometimes when you're a holy person, you do great and mighty things. You've got to know the enemy's going to try to attack you and take you out. You got to know that. Not even a holy person, a believer, a layman, someone who just trusts in God, believes in the power of Jesus Christ, and you do good things in that name, you got to know that's a war cry and something is going to come against you. But especially if you're a holy person and you take that vow to be on that white horse and ride that white horse, this is a war cry. It's not fun stuff. You got to know this is going to happen. And again, I don't feel sorry for you. If that happens, there's so many things that you could use to help battle evil. And if you're a holy person, you probably know what they all are. But the last thing you need is for someone to feel sorry for you. You do need encouragement. But if you're not getting it from the other people that you've spent and expended so much time encouraging, people, let me tell you something. I've taken people off the streets, put them under my wing, taught them how to be great, taught them their greatness, showed them their greatness, only years later to have them turn around and stab me in the back, only years later to come against me. That breaks my heart. But I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim, and it's not going to stop me from doing good things and great things for the kingdom of God. I will comfort myself if I have to. I will be on my own side today and every day if I have to, because I don't need the strength of man to comfort me. I serve a big God, and his strength will comfort me. Lean in on that. Lean in on that. Let that resonate with you on your spiritual journey, because in the beginning, when you're a white belt, or you're just being put on your spiritual journey, born again, whatever you want to call it, you're like a baby. You cry about everything. You cry out, cry, cry, cry. Spiritual maturity comes along, and you go, you know what? What did I expect would happen? This isn't going to take me out. I'm destined to win. Destined to win. You know you're destined to win. Sometimes it's the people closest to you in your own camp that'll come against you, guys. I don't have to tell you that. People are grown folks listening to this. They know that. Sometimes it's people in your own camp, your own family. You got to be careful of. Listen, man is faltering. Man will let you down time and time again, but God is faithful. So if you have to just comfort yourself through God, it will be enough to sustain you. I don't talk to this pastor too much that I helped. I recently talked to him because he accidentally dialed me one day. You know, he's back in position, back on the white horse, as I call it, got his job back, but he's a different person. I mean, listen, you'll never be the same again after you go through something like that. He's never been the same. I know he doesn't even know how to thank me. He doesn't know how to say thank you. He, I mean, because I mean, it's just not that he doesn't want to say thank you or be grateful. It's just that how do you thank someone that goes to hell and back for you? I got people in my path that have helped me so greatly. And honestly, I don't know how to say thank you. So I just tell them that. I just say, I don't know how to even thank you for this. This is beyond words. I have people that God put in my path that are like that. I still have a school teacher I had in the 10th and 11th grade who was not just a teacher but took me under his wing personally at a time in my life when I didn't have a father figure, which was pretty much my entire life, which, okay, was my entire life. But he came in at a time to set a good example for me, and he was a school teacher. I tell him today, I still call him, he's way up there now. I tell him, I say, you know, you can't do that with kids now. You can't drive kids around in your own car to compete in competitions and tell them how great they are. He goes, you can't? I'm like, no, can't do any of that. You can't be alone with a student ever if you're any kind of teacher. And not even a karate teacher. You should never be alone with your students if you don't know that. You can't do it in this day and age. It's not to protect them. It's to protect you. What people say that would come against you would ruin your life. But he was a great teacher, and I appreciated him so much. I tell him all the time, I don't even know how to thank you. I don't even know how to thank you. But God will put people like that in your path, and sometimes God puts me in the path of other people, and they feel that way about me. When it comes to spiritual work, I don't need any accolades. And actually, when it comes to spiritual work, ladies and gentlemen, I don't get any accolades. It's rare. It's very rare. I had a commercial school for 10 years in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, every Christmas, like my whole office would be flooded with gifts, fruit baskets. Every year, you know, just, I'm like, man, my students really appreciate me. I charged them pretty decent money. It wasn't horrible, but it was comparable with everybody else, maybe a little more. And they're bringing me all this stuff. All of a sudden, I go to the ghetto and I do it for free. What do I get? Not much. If I'm lucky, someone will come back and say thank you, and that's even rare. That's very rare. But that's okay. I'm not doing it. If I want a fruit basket, I'll go buy my own fruit basket. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of students off the streets and in addiction and rehab and all that stuff that I helped in 20 years, I can count on one hand the ones that really did anything with it and it changed their life. Probably 3 or 4 people tops it changed their life. Everybody else went back to their old habits of bad decisions and bad judgment calls and being a product of their environment. I often wonder, was it worth it? All that time and effort? Class after class after class for 20 years and maybe 3, 4 tops, I changed their lives and made them better people. Was it worth it? Well, that's not for me to answer. That's an answer that belongs to God. And I just let God handle that part and I just keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's pretty much the gist of that. Can you comfort yourself when nobody else will comfort you? Can you be on your own side? I will tell you straight up, ladies and gentlemen, I love myself enough to do that. Is there anything wrong with that? Can I love myself enough to be on my own side? The teachings of Jesus Christ say love one another even as I have loved you. I got news for you. You can't love other people if you don't know how to love yourself. Because if you don't have love for yourself, there's nothing to give to other people. I mean, love yourself in a healthy way. You know, I don't mean get the big, what we call the big hat. My own instructor in Pittsburgh, God bless him, Master C.S. Kim, he'd give the speech, you know, nobody get a big hat. No big hats. I'm not getting a big hat. I'm just letting you know the spiritual realm operates a lot different, and you do need to love yourself, or you're not going to be good to anybody else. You're falsifying the love. It's not genuine. If you don't genuinely love yourself, you can't genuinely love other people. So love yourself enough to comfort yourself whenever there's no one else around to comfort you. I'm Karen Eden, Master Karen Eden, Master Karen Eden Herdman, Master Karen Solomon, whatever. It's all me. and this is my journey, and I want to help people in the best way that I can. I don't think I'm above anybody ever, but I do know that I get put in particular people's paths to help them on their journeys, and that's what I do. I think I'm going to be doing a lot more with that kind of stuff. It's only going to be good for me. It's only going to set me in what I'm really supposed to be doing. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, all of my speaking engagements have been canceled. Every one of them, except for the ones for this fall, which I'll tell you about later. But I still have four books out. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four books out. Still write for the mags. Look at this stuff. It's inspirational. You like it, hit me up and let me know. Let me know. I'm all over Facebook. You'll find me. Hit me up. I like the feedback. I like to know when I made a difference in somebody's lives, because I'd like to think that somebody else is holding the pen besides me. A higher power, which is my Lord and Savior, through the power of Jesus Christ. I clarify that because I'm not one of these people that's all over the road with what they believe. You know, you just need to know I have one power source, and that's the cross for me always. All right, well, we did it. That's my Eden assignment for this week. Hey, listen, you pray for me and I pray for you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Have a great week. Bye-bye.